When Jesus was raised from dead that first Easter morning, it was a public event. Within a few hours of daybreak, all of the disciples knew that the tomb was empty. Before long, all of Jerusalem was talking about it. All the authorities would have needed to do to put a stop to Christianity right there and then was to produce the body of Jesus, and they couldn't. And Jesus stood before his disciples, risen and alive. All of his suffering, the horror of the crucifixion, now behind him, the purpose for which he came, complete. Mission accomplished. And Jesus' appearances following his resurrection, they were not simply random events. He appeared to certain people for a specific purpose, to do something for them and in them. So the appearances, far from being random, appear to be tailored to the needs of each individual. You know, God doesn't deal with us in blanket fashion. Jesus always, always deals with people as individuals. He knows us personally. He knows each one of us through and through. He knows our thoughts. He knows our particular needs. The very first person that Jesus appears to is Mary Magdalene. Now, we don't have this account in Luke. It appears in John's Gospel. Mary is totally distraught by all that's happened. She was there at the cross. She watched Jesus die. The one thing she can do for him now is to anoint his body with spices and precious oils. But even that is denied her. She finds the tomb empty, the body gone. And suddenly Jesus is standing there. At first she doesn't recognize him. And Jesus speaks. One word, Mary. Calls her by name. And that one word lifts her from the deepest despair to the height of joy. Jesus calls us by name. You know, there may have been times when we've felt overwhelmed by despair because nothing's turned out the way we'd hoped it would, and we just don't know which way to turn. We've all been there at some point. And the world says, time will heal. You need to move on. You'll get over it. And Jesus says, I'm here. I love you. He speaks our name. Whatever the need, whether for comfort in loss, healing from past traumas, the ability to forgive, hope for the future when hope seems gone, Jesus' presence brings healing for the soul. Having comforted Mary, Jesus goes on to meet with two other people, Cleopas and his friend, or it may have been his wife, we're not told. But they're on their way to Emmaus. It's about 7 miles outside Jerusalem. They know that Jesus has been crucified, and they've heard that mysterious things have been happening. They've heard stories about the grave being empty. So they're obviously part of the Christian community. But for some reason, they're going in the wrong direction. They're going away from Jesus, heading away from Jerusalem. And they are next on Jesus' list. And as they're walking along and discussing what they've heard, Jesus appears and walks with them. But they don't recognize him to start with. And Jesus gives them a basic Bible study, because clearly they've missed the significance of what has happened. They had misunderstood what the Old Testament teaches about God's purposes, and so had no understanding of the cross. Their disappointment was obvious. We'd hoped he would be the one to redeem Israel, but the redemption they had in mind was political. They completely failed to understand that redemption could only be achieved through Jesus' death. And you know, to have a clear understanding of our faith, we have to see Jesus within the whole story of God's dealings with Israel and his covenantal promises. Of course, our faith is more than theology. To be a Christian is to have a living relationship with God through Jesus Christ. But experience alone, without an understanding of our faith, will only lead to confusion. We need to spend time in Scripture to develop our understanding of God's actions in the whole of the story of redemption in the Old and New Testament, especially if we want to be able to share our faith with others. So Jesus spends time with these two, teaching them from Scripture as they walk along together. And then because it's late, he stays to eat a meal with them. They now have some understanding of why all of these events of the last few days have taken place, but it's head knowledge. They haven't met personally with Jesus, or so they think. And as they're eating, maybe it's a familiar action they recognize as Jesus breaks bread, but suddenly they know this is Jesus. They not only now have some understanding, they have heart experience that Jesus is who he says he is, that he is alive. And as Christians, we need both. We need to be informed about our faith, and we need the personal experience of meeting with the risen Christ and inviting him to come and live within us by his Spirit, so that we can say, I know that I know that I know that it is real. Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened up the Scriptures to us? I love John Wesley's account of his spiritual awakening. He'd been preaching for years at this point, and one evening, whilst he was listening to the preface to the Book of Romans, he says this: I felt my heart strangely warmed, and an assurance was given me that Jesus had taken away my sins and saved me from the law of sin and death. It's having that assurance in our hearts that convinces us it is true. We're just going to pause there and listen to our second reading, which is a continuation of Luke chapter 24. Joe is going to come and read for us again. Thank you.
The second reading is Luke 24, 36 to 49. Jesus appears to the disciples. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the Scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Thanks be to God."
Thank you. So having met with Cleopas and his friend, Jesus now turns his attention to the other disciples. They've been devastated by the crucifixion of Jesus and fearful of what was going to happen next. As well as their sense of bereavement and loss, they know there's a hostile world out there. Now, they're having to come to terms with the amazing possibility that Jesus is actually alive. There's enough pressure here for a complete emotional breakdown, and they are next on Jesus's list. Their greatest need at that moment was for peace and reassurance. And Jesus appears to them, even though the doors are locked, and says, "Peace be with you." He wasn't just giving them a greeting, "Shalom, peace be with you." It's a way of greeting people. But this was different. He was giving them his deep peace, a peace that the world can't give. And he shows them the nail marks in his hands and feet and the wounds in his side. And because they still can't quite take it in, he eats a piece of fish in their presence to prove to them that he's not a ghost. Then he says it again, what he said when he first came in, "Peace be with you." And peace settles on the souls of those traumatized disciples. This really is Jesus, risen and alive. You know, we don't need to look for alternative ways of finding peace. Real, deep, and lasting peace is found only in a relationship with Jesus. Jesus can meet our deepest needs. He comes to us as individuals and as a congregation, encouraging, challenging, reassuring, convicting, transforming. Jesus is here now to do that, to meet with us, to change us, to meet our needs. Jesus' presence brings healing and peace. He heals Mary's grief and sorrow with one word. He deals with the two on the road to Emmaus to give them understanding. He banishes the confusion and trauma of the disciples in the upper room as he appears before them in his resurrection body, still with the visible marks of crucifixion. This sermon series in Luke's Gospel is finishing today, and it's been all about that question, who is Jesus? And the glorious message of Easter is that Jesus is the only Son of God, our risen Saviour and Lord. The resurrection appearances are our guarantee that Jesus has done everything that was required to win for us forgiveness and a life to come beyond the grave. In raising him from dead, God the Father owned his Son. Of course, Jesus could have gone straight back to heaven from the grave. He didn't have to stay around to appear to people. But that might have left us unsure. Luke's Gospel ends with Jesus' promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit and the commissioning of the church. "You are to be witnesses of these things," says Jesus. "But wait until you've received power from on high, as my Father promised." And they had to wait 7 weeks till Pentecost and the arrival of the Holy Spirit, who came to empower his church. Luke might have finished his gospel with the words "to be continued," because he went on to write the Acts of the Apostles, which describe the beginning of the church's great adventure of sharing God's love and preaching the gospel to the world in the power of the Spirit. So we've been thinking over the last 6 months as we have gone through this sermon series about who Jesus is. And next week, we begin a new sermon series titled, "Who Are We?" What kind of people are we? What kind of people are we meant to be as the people of Christ, of God today? And what is our purpose as the Church of Jesus Christ? Well, we're going to worship again now with a song, "In Christ Alone, My Hope Is Found." And we'll stand to worship. Here in the power of Christ we stand. We're going to bring our prayers now for the world and the church. So let's pray. Lord, we come to pray for your world, a world you gave your life for. We bring before you all those places of conflict and pray for safety and sanctuary for all caught up in war zones. Lord, we pray for the release of the remaining Israeli hostages. And we also pray for the safety of those trying to bring aid to Gaza. Lord, give wisdom and compassion to world leaders and all who exercise power. We pray for your peace to reign on earth, that all can go about in safety without fear of their lives. And Lord, as we think of the increasing violence on our own city streets, we pray for those who've lost loved ones as a result of knife crime. We think of so many young people who carry knives and other weapons, and pray, Lord, that you would raise up those who will have a positive influence for good on our children and young people, that they might find in you a reason and a cause to live for. We pray for the church community here and ask your blessing on all who serve in many different ways. Lord, continue to empower them by your Spirit, that they might find joy and fulfillment in serving you as King of Kings. We give you thanks for the joy of loving fellowship and ask, Lord, that you would continue to guide and empower your church, that by your grace we would honour the name of Jesus and fulfil the mission for which you have called this church into being. We pray now for those we know who are in any kind of need, those who are grieving at this time. Lord, grant comfort and the loving support of those around them. For all who are ill, Lord, draw near with healing power. For the lonely, the depressed, those who are anxious or confused, those who feel abandoned or forgotten, Lord, grant peace and the warmth of your sustaining presence and the help and support of your people close by. So, Lord, minister your love and healing grace into every life. We ask these prayers in the power that's in the name of Jesus, our risen Lord and Saviour. Amen. So now, as we come to share communion, there'll be a prayer of confession on the screen, which we're going to pray together. But let's just have a moment's stillness as we think about those words. So let's pray this together. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and in what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. We are truly sorry. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, forgive us all that is past, and help us live more faithfully for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God's promise to us is that when we sincerely confess, he will forgive us. Praise the Lord. So as we come to communion, we're going to sing again, but we'll remain seated to sing this. I hope it's one that we know. King of Kings, Majesty, God of Heaven, living in me. Let's remain seated to sing. Praise the Lord. So we have a prayer of thanksgiving now on the screen, which again, we're going to pray this together. So let's pray. So Lord, accept the thanks and praise of your people in this meal of remembrance, in which you have commanded us to participate until your return. Strengthen us by your Spirit, guide us in your ways of righteousness and love, and make us one in purpose. Saviour, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So we come now to share bread and wine at Jesus' invitation. All who love the Lord are welcome at his table. And we come not because any goodness of our own gives us the right, but because he loves us and gave his life for us. So let's hear again the words of institution as given by the Apostle Paul. On the night that he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, and he given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Therefore, Lord God, by what we do here in remembrance of Christ, as we celebrate his perfect sacrifice on the cross, and his glorious resurrection and ascension, we declare that he is Lord of all, and we prepare for his coming in his kingdom. We pray that through your Holy Spirit, this bread may be for us the body of Christ, and this wine may be the blood of Christ. Accept our sacrifice of praise, and as we eat and drink at his command, unite us to Christ as one body in him, and give us strength to serve you in the world. So to you, one holy and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we give praise and glory, now and forever. Amen. So I'm going to ask Val to come and sit at the front. We'll serve Val first with the bread and wine as a new member. And I think is Joe going to come with her as well? Yes. So we're going to share bread and wine together. The body of Christ was given for us all. The blood of Christ shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. So strengthen for service, Lord, the hands that have taken holy things. May the ears that have heard your word be deaf to clamour and dispute. May the eyes that have seen your love shine with the light of hope. May the tongues that have sung your praises always speak the truth. May the feet that have walked in your house ever walk in the light. Thanks be to God for his gift beyond words. Amen. So we're almost at the end of the service. Our last hymn this morning is a hymn chosen by Val, a lovely hymn of praise, praising the risen Christ. How great thou art. We'll stand to sing. Praise the Lord. So, Lord, we praise and worship you. We thank you for your presence with us. Thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. We proclaim you King of Kings and Lord of Lords and Head of the Church. So, Lord, as we leave this place now, we pray that you would go with us, that you would be with us in all the events and circumstances of this coming week, that through it all, we would keep our eyes on you. Thank you, Lord. So let's say the grace then to each other. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.